Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm approaching the end of my fourth week talking about how to receive God's best. I think this has been a great teaching. It really inspires me and ministers to me, and I know that this is changing the lives of people. I taught this at one of our recent Gospel Truth seminars, and I tell you, we saw a lot of people set free. One of the reasons that people don't receive God's best is because they just have learned to settle for less. Sad to say, a lot of religion teaches people that God wants us to suffer and live below all of these standards. But I am trying to change that and say, no, God wants you to receive His best. And I've been talking about the power of a blessing, that a blessing is simply God's spoken favor over you. Man, that is powerful. And the Word of God, every word in here at one time came from God. It was an audible word or a vocal word at one time, and it's been written down. And if we just mix faith with these spoken blessings of God over us, they'll come to pass. That's powerful. And I've been showing how that all of these blessings of God are in words. That's how He releases His blessing. I gave two examples in Genesis chapter 1 where He took the animal creation and then the mankind, the human creation, and He blessed them and said, God always releases His blessing or His favor by saying it. And so we've been talking about that. And then yesterday I began to start taking the example of Balaam, who is hired by Balak to come curse the Israelites. And I really pointed out that most people today would think that this is silly. What does a person saying words over somebody have to do with whether or not you can win? Well, I tell you what, our evaluation of words, if it's contrary to the Word's evaluation of words, then we're wrong and the Bible is right. The Bible places a tremendous power on words. And the very fact that God felt threatened by Balaam coming and speaking negative things, curses over His people, and that God took it very seriously and was even to the point of killing Balaam, that shows the power of words. That shows how important this is. Our culture, the way it disrespects words and doesn't follow our words, and we say one thing and then do another and don't even feel anything about it. It's our culture that's wrong, not the Bible. Words are powerful. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 18:21. So we've shown that Balaam, you know, had his donkeys talk to him, and anyway, the Lord let him go with Balaam, but He says, you still can't curse the people because I've blessed them. And so he offered a total of three sacrifices trying to curse the Israelites. The first one we've already talked about. The second one yesterday, I came to Numbers chapter 23, verses 19 and 20 and read them. And basically, the Lord, here's what Balaam said. Let me just read this in Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. God is not a man that He should lie, neither the son of man that He should repent. Hath He said, and shall He not do it? Or hath He spoken, and shall He not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and He hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. Now, Balaam was a man who he had a reputation that whatever he said came to pass. If he blessed somebody, they were blessed. And if he cursed somebody, they were cursed. So this is a man who understood the power of words and was famous because his words came to pass. And yet here's this man who was so strong in this area, and he says, God hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. So what that says to me, that once God's blessing has been spoken and then received by faith, and you activate it by your faith, I've used this verse a lot, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, the word preached unto them did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. You've got to mix the Word of God with faith before the power that's in it comes out. You just can't hold the Bible in your arm. You can't have it on your nightstand. You've got to put the Word on the inside of you and mix it with faith. But once the blessing of God, the spoken favor of God, is received by faith, nothing can stop it. It's unstoppable. Boy, that's powerful. That is super powerful. And this is what this passage shows me. And then look what else he went on to say in the next verse. Balaam said this in verse 21, Numbers 23, 21. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. Now, this is, you got to interpret this a little bit, because in Exodus chapter 32, the Lord told Moses that, behold, your people that you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have made a golden calf and fallen down and worshiped it and offered sacrifices unto it. And God says, Moses, leave me alone and get out of my way so that my wrath might wax hot against them, and I'll destroy this entire nation and start over and make a new nation out of you. So the reason I bring that up is to say God had beheld iniquity in Jacob and seen perverseness in Israel to the point that he was willing to wipe them out. But when it came to somebody else, an outsider coming in and trying to curse his people, God said that, you know what, he is not dealing with them based on their actions. They had a blessing spoken over them. It started in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, where God said, I will bless him that blesses you and curse him that curses you. And God placed a blessing on Abraham and then his seed. And when it came to the devil or an outside source trying to come and to stop the blessing of God, God says, their actions have nothing to do with this blessing. That's what he was saying when he says, I hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. Again, the Lord was conscious of their sin and their iniquity, but he wasn't dealing with them based on their iniquity. You know, in some ways it's similar to like a family. Sometimes family members, you know, get on each other's case and they argue with each other, and you may say some things, but boy, you let somebody come against them from the outside. And even though these are maybe siblings that kind of argue with each other and pick at each other, and yet they are brother and sister or brother and brother, and they are going to defend each other, they stand up against other people. This is what the Lord is saying. The Lord had some gripes and some complaints against the Israelites, but when somebody from the outside came and tried to curse them, God intervened. And God defended them, and God says, I am not dealing with these people according to their iniquity and according to their perverseness. That's powerful. And what this says to us is that, you know what, once God has spoken this blessing, which the whole Bible is full of God's blessings that have been spoken, and once you receive them, when you get born again, you get in Christ, and all of Abraham's blessing become yours in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 14. And so many other blessings. All of these positive things have been spoken over us, and they're ours. And all we've got to do is just receive it by faith. And then once that happens, the devil can't come and stop the blessing of God. Balaam couldn't stop the blessing of God. He says, God is blessed, and I cannot reverse it. Satan cannot reverse the blessing of God. Once you have received God's blessing, nothing can stop it from without. I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but the only thing that can stop the blessing of God is you. And so after Balaam had blessed the Israelites the second time, Balak got so upset, it says he smote his hands together. You know, I can just see him listening to this blessing instead of a curse. And he got so mad, he hit his hands together and he says, I brought you to curse my enemies, and this is the second time you've blessed them. And he says, I'm going to give you one more chance. And he took him to another place. He offered seven more sacrifices the way that he had done before. And this time, Balaam didn't even go inquire of God. Finally, he had wised up, realized God was not a man. He wasn't going to change. He had spoken, and it was coming to pass. He could not reverse the blessing. So this time, he didn't even go and petition the Lord and try and get God to do something. He just came back, and he began to prophesy right here in the 24th chapter of the book of Numbers. And he actually prophesied about Shiloh, talking about the Messiah. And God spoke through him and spoke some things about how the Israelites would prosper and win over their enemies, and that the Messiah would come through Israel, and that the entire world would be blessed. It was some powerful things. So up until this time, Balaam had erred when he got excited about this reward of divination. The angel came close to killing him, but this is not his transgression yet that the Scripture rebukes him for. And you can read down here at the end of the 24th chapter, it says in verse 25, "And Balaam rose up and went and returned unto his place, and Balak also went his way." And if the story would have just ended right here, then you know what? We wouldn't have had the same impression about Balaam that people have today. But here's what happened in the next verse. This is chapter 25, Numbers 25, verse 1. "And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredoms with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their God. And the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel." And a lot of people died in the plague. I think that there was something like 70,000. I forget the exact number, but it's here in Numbers chapter 25. And actually, the people became so brazen in their sin that one of them took one of these Midianite women that they were forbidden to have a relationship with them. And he took this woman and walked right in front of Moses and entered into his tent to have sex with this person that it was forbidden to do. And they were flaunting this. They had just totally rejected the Lord. And Phinehas, the son of Aaron, or Eleazar, the son of Aaron, he actually took a javelin and went into this tent and thrust through the man and the woman, and that stopped the plague. And Phinehas was blessed because of this. But this instance in chapter 25, it looks like it is disconnected from the instance where Balaam came and tried to curse the Israelites. But look over here in the 31st chapter of the book of Numbers. And this is quite a bit of time after the story about Balaam. And Moses was given an order by God to go avenge the children of Israel on the Midianites. The Midianites had treated them badly and attacked them when they were weak and stuff. And so he says, go kill them. And go kill the men, the women, the children, the animals, and everything. You know, for a long period of time, that used to bother me because it looked just barbaric. And you wonder how God could order something like that. But in the Old Testament, people couldn't be born again. And once a person was given over to demon possession, you couldn't get delivered the way that we see people delivered and lives changed today. And so, in a sense, it was like a cancer or something. And the only way, there was no way to cure cancer under the Old Testament. I mean, talking about this cancer of demon possession. There was no way to cure it. The only way you could deal with it was just to eradicate it. Similar to when a person has cancer in your liver or something, they just go in and cut out that part and discard it and throw it away. Well, in a sense, this is what the Lord was doing right here. These people couldn't be forgiven. They couldn't be delivered in the sense that we in the New Testament are. And yet they were demon-possessed. Bestiality was the rule of the day. So this is the reason he told them to even kill the animals, because the animals were demon-possessed. The nation of Israel could have been influenced and infected through this. And so God said, kill them all, because they actually offered their children unto the devil at birth. Some of them were sacrificed and killed, and others, they were all given to the devil. And they were demon-possessed from the time that they were children. It was a wicked, wicked culture. And as hard as this seems to us, you couldn't save these people. They couldn't be delivered under the old covenant. You just had to cut it out like a cancer and discard it. So God said, kill them all, men, women, children, and even their animals. And it says in verse, this is Numbers chapter 31, and in verse 14, "And Moses was wroth with the officers of the host, and with the captains over thousands and captains over hundreds, which came from the battle. And Moses said unto them, have ye saved all the women alive? Behold, these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor, and there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. See, that goes back to Numbers chapter 25. And so this instance, right after Balaam left, and it says that the children of Israel began to go commit whoredom with the daughters of Midianite and the Moab, and they begin to do these things and worship their God and all this stuff happened. Right here, Moses said that this happened through the counsel of Balaam. So here's what I believe really happened. Balaam did not curse the Israelites because God had arrested him and put his fear in him. So according to this verse in Numbers chapter 31, verse 16, these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass. Balaam recognized that he could not overcome the blessing of God, but he taught Balak, and he says, use the women of Moab to entice the Israelites to come and commit adultery and to worship the God of Moab and the God of the Midianites. And if they will do that, they stop the blessing of God. And boy, this just revolutionized my life to recognize that Satan can't stop God's blessing in my life. Other people can't stop the blessing in my life. What people say about me can't stop me from being prosperous and the blessing of God from operating. The only thing in the universe that can stop the blessing of God is my unbelief. It doesn't matter what other people say about me, how they threaten me. It doesn't matter what's going on in the economy. It doesn't matter if plagues are going through the earth. I am not bound by physical, natural things. God has spoken, and once God has spoken and blessed me, nothing can stop it. Satan can't stop it. Circumstances can't stop it. The only thing that can stop the blessing of God in my life is my unbelief. Boy, that's powerful. And if you've understood what I just said, then you know what this means? That all you've got to do is go to the Word, find out what are the blessings of God, what has He spoken over me, and then you receive it by faith. And once you mix faith with the blessing of God, the spoken favor of God, then the blessing of God begins to start working in your life, and nothing can stop it. It will snowball. It will grow. It will begin to increase exponentially, and nothing can stop the blessing of God except your unbelief. That is so, so powerful. And I tell you, we give the devil way too much credit. We give circumstances way too much credit. I have lots of people. You know, I travel and minister with a lot of ministers, and there's ministers all the time that are trying to explain away the decrease of their church. Maybe their offerings have gone down, their attendance has gone down, and they always have a reason that, oh, this is a vacation place. And people here, when the weather gets nice, they're out playing and doing things and out on the lakes and out climbing the mountains, and they always are ascribing their demise to some physical, natural thing. But I tell you what, when a person is on fire for God and operating in faith, if you catch on fire for God, the world will come watch you burn. That is absolutely true. I was just talking to a friend of mine recently, and he received totally what I was saying, but he's been in a situation where there were some hindrances and hardships in his life, and I was saying, look, I'm not condemning you or anything. It's like he had the perfect storm. So many things happened with his own kids and with people taking people from his church and splitting it. And it was just a lot of things that happened. But regardless of what it was that happened, he basically had gotten his eyes off of Jesus. He had gotten out of a vision for the future. He was into a survival mode and just thinking about surviving. And it caused fear and unbelief in his own heart. And I was telling him, I said, I don't care what's happened to you, and I don't care what anybody else is doing. You get back and you get into faith, and this blessing of God cannot be stopped. I guarantee you there are plenty of pagans out there. There's no shortage of sinners and unbelievers. And God is wanting to reach them through you. And this church will prosper if you will make the right decisions and if you will get your focus back on the Lord. And basically, I shared with him that this is what happened to me. You know, I never got bitter or things like that. But anyway, this goes back to January the 31st of 2002 when the Lord told me I was thinking too small. And I had been fearful that if I really got a large ministry and became, you know, worldwide, known worldwide, that it would corrupt me and that it, you know, it would make me get into pride and I'd lose my relationship with God. And I had gotten to where I could handle the anonymity, but I wasn't sure I could handle success. And there were some other things going. But because of this, basically what it was, these fears of could I handle it if I had a large ministry and stuff, they were holding me back. And God said, you are limiting me by your small thinking. And you know what? I changed. And I said, I'm going to change. I called my staff together and I told them, I don't know if it takes a week, a month, a year, or multiple years to change, but I'm changing. And did you know, before I could notify anybody about it, before we could put out a letter, before I could go on television and tell people, I mean, everything began to change. Our finances exploded. And this was right after the 9/11 terrorist attacks, when ministries on television were decreasing. I mean, nearly everybody, every single ministry that I'm aware of, their income went down. But this is when God spoke to me and I made a change in my heart and my income went up against the trend. I'd been trying to get on television networks that wouldn't let me on. And within a couple of days, they said, we've got to have you on. Everything changed. God began to start sending me people to help me accomplish my vision. I mean, before I could do anything in the natural to make anything change, I just changed in my heart and boom, everything else changed. And this is what I'm trying to get across to you, that God has blessed you and you may have physical circumstances and you may have reasons that you've been looking at and say, well, it's a down economy and that's why we aren't more prosperous. And you might be saying all of these things, but I'm telling you that God has blessed you. And if you ever get to where you mix that with faith, nothing can stop it. Not a down economy, not a recession, not a plague, not a sickness, not the opinion of other people. None of those things matter. If you activate the blessing of God by faith, nothing can stop it.
Andrew and Jamie Wallach would like to invite you to join hands with them by becoming a foundation builder. Foundation Builders are a special group of ministry partners that contribute financially, providing a firm foundation for building the lives of Charis Bible College world changers and making disciples who will carry the almost too good to be true news of God's love and grace around the world. Phase 1 has been funded and completed, and Phase 2 is now gearing up. Discover how you can help change lives by logging on to www.awmi.net/partnership. Change your life. Change the world. Invest yourself in Charis Bible College and Andrew Womack Ministries today.
She was a grayish-white color. And she was still, and she had all these waters coming in and out of her. She was just, she was laid out on a table to be ready to be transported.
When I got into the car to follow the ambulance over to UAB, I had my quiet moment. And I was just praying, God, I know your will in her life. I know you want to heal. It's your will to heal. God wants you well. That kept coming back to my mind. And then the doctor said the heart did not develop. We run echograms. We only see a very small left side of her heart. And if it hadn't been for what Andrew had revealed to me in his teaching, I couldn't have held on to that. I would have spoke death. I would have I've let go of that faith. And this was the time.
Log on to awmi.net. Look to the left. Click on Healing Testimonies and take a healing journey with the Scott family.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Colorado Springs, Colorado, for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference, July 4th through the 8th. He'll also be in Chicago, Illinois, for a Gospel Truth Seminar, August 4th through the 6th, and in the New England area for a Gospel Truth Seminar, August 25th through the 27th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
Andrew would like to invite you to visit the website as he guides you through the second installment of the virtual tour. This time, come inside the future home of Charis Bible College. You can almost smell the new carpet.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, How to Receive God's Best, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD. Or if you prefer, you can get the DVD as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify CD, DVD, or DVD as seen on TV when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The fourth audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fourth CD titled The Power of Words, free of charge. We'd also like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
I had been looking for the more in my life, and someone had given me a teaching tape of Andrew's and had shared another church with me who is also a Charis Bible College affiliate up in Fort Collins. So I began to listen to Andrew's tapes and seeing that Andrew had the more, was teaching the more that Jesus said we would be doing the greater, raising the dead, healing the sick, opening blind eyes. So I began to listen to Andrew's tapes, and then I was diagnosed with cancer. So I got every tape that I could, and it was just feeding my belief and starving my unbelief with the Word of God, with Andrew's teachings. He prayed for me just a simple prayer, commanding the cancer to leave my body. I went in for the surgery. I was probably about a week and a half, 2 weeks later. The doctors called me the very next day, which is unusual, and said, Connie, we don't know what happened. All the cancer was gone. Of course, my husband and I rejoiced, and I said, I know what happened. Cancer was the big sickness that came upon me, but not bigger than a cold for me anymore.